Hey y'all, and welcome to episode 3 of the New Adult Playbook podcast, and happy Black History Month. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I'm here with my co-host, Micaiah.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, hey, hey. So today, we're going to be having a quick conversation about Black people in media and representation, specifically in movies. So, we'll just jump right in, I guess. What is one or two, maybe even three movies, Black movies or movies with Black main characters that you've seen in the past, your whole life, 22 years, that that you've liked or that you have thoughts about or anything?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is. 22 years of Black movies. Tell me your favorite one.
22 years of Black movies. Oh man, I just feel like they're so okay. This one's really stupid. Well, it's not stupid. Shout out to all the actors, but it's insane how much I reference it in my day to day life.
Yeah.
And that's Roll Bounce.
Oh my gosh! Yes, yes. Same. Literally every time I'm like, oh yeah, I want to learn how to skate. Like Roll Bounce. Every time.
No, I know. I just remember like the opening scene. They're in the skating ring, and all you hear is the song "Skate," you know. Yeah. And it's like roll bounce. Or actually they don't open to that song. I think they open to flashlight. I don't know what.
Okay, honestly, however, confession, I don't think I've ever seen that movie. Like I just know about it. I just know like everything about it. I've seen like the dancing and the skating and stuff, but I've never seen the movie. I just know, like, I want to skate like that. That's
the thing is, if someone put that movie on right now and let my brain just, you know, tap into its memories, I could probably quote the whole thing from beginning to end.
Look, some movies really be like that. I love that for you.
We watched that movie so much as a kid. I used to spend summers with my aunt, and we would watch Nacho Libre, Roll Bounce, and Jerry Springer, like, on repeat. Like, that was the daily
event. Not Jerry Springer.
That's literally all we did. And then she would take me to tennis camp all late. But in that summers, we literally have memorized Roll Bounce. And we need to watch it. Honestly, what a moment.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to watch it.
Especially you, because you're the skater.
I know, right? I know. I need to get some inspiration, because I haven't been skating lately, so. Oh, I almost went today, but I was too tired. I said, I need a nap.
That's what, you really did.
I did. Them kids was driving me crazy.
You hit me up at 3 o'clock. Excuse me.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to need a nap before we start talking to each other because I can't do this. I would have been completely dead. But the weather was so nice today. I was like, let me go out and skate, like Roll Bounce. But but I didn't.
And I think the other movie that I think of that just pisses me off, does not give me the same glee and joy as Roll Bounce, is Princess and the Frog.
Mm-mm.
And it's only because we get the first, and also I just want to say, like, Black people have had some amazing cartoons. Mm-hmm. Proud Family, Boondocks, whoever it was in, what is that, what, oh my god, I hate myself that I can't remember who they are. They were all like, they all had numbers, and they were like fighting.
Codename Kids Next Door?
Yes, I cannot remember.
Yeah.
Homegirl.
Yeah, she was great.
Like, I feel like we had so much like great representation, like in cartoons and stuff. And then when we get our first Black like princess, she wanted to be a frog half the movie.
Yeah.
Not even half the movie. Like 80.
It's like most of the movie.
Oh my god, it made me so mad. And I was like, literally, we see her sing one song as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't ever see her as
And then the song movie. Is about like grinding. She's like, the grind never stops, Mom. I don't have time to dance. And it's like,
right.
Man, she couldn't have, like, I understand that, you know, every Disney princess has their like I want song or whatever, and that was hers. And I get, you know, what she was trying to do there. She said, I want to have a restaurant and that's my dream or whatever. But I was like, dang, she could have sung about, like, I don't know, I love life.
I've honestly never watched it all the way through.
Really? I like Princess and the Frog, but I have many critiques for it, obviously, because she was a frog the whole movie. I feel like we deserve a redo. Like, we give us something else. Cause it's like, bro, you gave us this, you like hyped this up to be like the first Black princess. She's like not light skin, which is nice. And then she was a frog. So also my mom didn't let me watch that movie when it first came out. So I watched it like years later. So
because of all the
yeah, the voodoo magic. She said, not none of that darkness in my house, which I guess, whatever. But I watched it way later and I like the music. I like the Louisiana-ness of it, which is funny because I hate Louisiana. No offense to y'all, but that state makes me want to die. but yeah, it was. I liked everything else about it. It was just the fact that she was a frog the whole time, and also Naveen was a frog the whole time, and he was so fine. But he was a frog. I'm like, I can't be out here crushing on a frog. That's disgusting.
Don't get me started on Kovu.
Please, we're not talking about that. Even though The Lion King is like objectively a Black movie. Even though they're all animals, they're Black. I don't care. Like, you cannot tell me anything otherwise. They're all Black.
Listen, Timon and Pumbaa were too funny to be anything.
Okay,
else.
Right. And the music, like those harmonies, those animals are singing the harmonies in Circle of Life. They're Black. There's no other way. There's no other way. And then on Broadway, they all are played by Black people. So, but for me, I think that my favorite Black movies for the past 22 years, I actually don't know. Like, I have a lot of really high up there ones, I feel like. But I think the ones that I like invested the most time in would probably have to be my favorites. Probably Get Out. The amount of like research that I put into that movie after it came out, insane. I've never done that before with any other movie. And I feel like a lot of people did that, but it was like a stick in my head for like years after it came out. Yeah. I just could not stop thinking about it. And then I guess on the other side of that, Into the Spider-Verse, which came out, I think, 2 years ago or something like that. Amazing. Great movie.
Yeah, I just remember hearing so many fantastic reviews about Into the Spider-Verse. I don't know why I haven't watched it. It's not like I haven't been done. I don't think I've just, like, sat down and, like, it's one of those things I want to pay attention to. And typically when I put on movies, it's always the ones I've already seen. So I don't have to pay attention to it. So I think that's why I haven't watched it, but you know what? I'm gonna do it this week.
You should. I think it's still on Netflix, but I'm not sure. But I like that movie. Like, I love Spider-Man, so you know, obviously I was gonna like it, but I also like it because of the like effort that they put into the movie with the like all the different little details that, you know, you might not notice, but then I watched a bunch of videos about it and I was like, wait, that's so cool how they did this. So it's just a really good movie, and it has nothing to do with, like, he's Afro-Latino, so that's, like, just another thing on top of that. I'm like, that's really cool. But it has nothing to do with, like, his struggle of being Black or anything like that. He's just Black and living life, and I love that. Yeah. And, yeah, I want more movies like that where they're just Black and living life. But
Roll bounces.
Right. I know. I need to watch it. I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, I love that movie. There's just a lot of, you know, I feel like I have a lot of movies that I've seen over the years that I'm like, wait, that I didn't realize like how Black this movie was until I got older and started, you know, like actually thinking about it and being like, oh, wait, there's a lot of Black people in this movie. You know, I feel like that happens to me a lot, that I'll watch an old movie and I'll be like, oh, Black people.
Old movies outside of Tyler Perry.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch House of Pain.
I forgot.
Yeah. You remember Calvin? That man. Lance Gross, he's fine.
I forgot about House of Pain.
House of Pain was so good to me.
That is so... Whoa. You really just unlocked a movie.
Look.
Now, I remember... I'm glad that I kind of got older and was able to venture into... I guess, or just look past the horizons of Tyler Perry. Because I feel like that's all we watched growing up. So you only see, like, Like you just see, I think he tries to paint the re some realities of like black families, but also I'm just like, we really just be out here vibing and living. Like it's not all centered around this. It's not all centered around like suffering and just I don't know. I don't know. And once you like move past that and you see like people are just making like again, I'm just roll bounces. This is now a case in point.
The whole episode, we just gonna keep bringing it back. Roll bounce.
I know. But like it does such a good job of just showing like black people just having fun. Like the storyline was just he, you know, he was trying to skate like sweetness at his girl. You know, like it was just good fun. And not like, oh, the whole family is falling apart because Joe stole Joe's money and this black woman's getting beat. Like, you
She's
know.
addicted to crack, but she's also getting beat, and she's also like on the verge of being homeless and like all this stuff. And you're like, it's good, it's interesting, it's dramatic, but also like black, that's not all that black people are. And
Yeah,
so I'm
exactly.
like, okay, can we get a new story, you know?
Right. And you literally like they're predictable. You're just like, she's about to die. They go to the funeral. She
Madea's
gonna
gonna
make
show
lunch at
up.
the altar. Right, and give a life lesson that don't probably need.
Okay, for real though, Madea just be, hey y'all, and somehow everybody's related to Madea, but they're dating each other. So like, if you're all related to the same woman, aren't you got? I don't get it. But you know, I
I
respect
don't know.
Tyler
I
Perry
don't know.
for the things that he's done in his life, because he's not that old and
Oh,
he's done a lot of
absolutely.
stuff. But I'm like, we need something
Absolutely.
else, something new, okay? But so one
Yeah.
thing,
No,
have you
absolutely.
ever seen Moonlight?
No, but I've read a lot about it. I had to really think about that. I've never seen it, but I've
Ooh,
read a
girl.
lot about
Ooh,
it.
girl. That movie, so good. I watched it actually at a UGA theater, so free. It was free 99. Technically, I paid for it with my
Okay.
tuition, but we'll just say it's free.
Fine. I
Yeah,
say free.
just keep it at
It adds on to the experience.
that. But yeah, I watched it in a theater at school, and I thought it was so good. It was like, there's some people who have like kind of mixed feelings about it, because I believe the director or somebody was white that was like really top in charge. But I loved it. I mean, I liked the story and like the way that it goes through his life, and like also, who's that guy? Oh my gosh, what is his name? Trevante Rhodes. Beautiful. He's
Oh my
beautiful.
God. So beautiful.
He
So
is
beautiful.
woo, whoo, a man. But
A
also Mahershala
specimen.
Ali was in it too. Amazing. Janelle Monae was in it. It was just like beautiful black people that I love all in this one movie. But anyways, it like goes through his life, and he's like young and then a teenager and then an adult, and like he's going through whatever. But I liked it because of the way it was shot, like the colors and the lighting and just everything. Like, it was still a movie that was about his hardships. It just wasn't really his hardships of being black. It was more like for being gay. That was more of the focus, which I thought was cool too, because we don't really get a lot of those type of stories, you know, at all. We never get a story like that, unless it's like, you know, the black gay person is like the butt of everything. They're just getting beat up and whatever, or they're like hiding their sexuality and it's like a big deal, you know.
Or they're the, you know, the stereotype, like the
Yeah,
famous
right.
ones.
That's a lot. That happens a
Dang.
lot. Which black people often are just like the best friend role and the sidekick role. So like, even thinking of like, there are characters that I know that I'm like, oh yeah, I like that person in that movie, but they weren't the main character. They were definitely the, you know, the quirky black best friend who's gonna be like, you know, give the pep talk and be like, you can do this, but they never actually get a story for themselves. That happens a lot. But anyways, Moonlight. It was so good. And I was very happy when it won that Oscar for like best film or whatever. After it was like La La Land, and then it wasn't. I laugh about that daily. That was some black joy right there. I said, but yeah, you should definitely watch it. I think that it did well for black, dark skinned black people, like with the, like I said, the colors and the lighting and stuff. Like, you could never, like, sometimes with black people, you can tell when they're shot by a white person or someone who's just not as dark as they are, because you're like, I literally am squinting to see in the, to see them, even in dark scenes. Like there's a lot of scenes in that movie that were in the dark, and you could still see everything. And it was just like so cool to me that people could actually do this, you know, that it wasn't just something that I had to like settle for, like, oh, I'm dark skinned, I'm never gonna, you know, I feel I'm now that I'm older, I kind of see myself more as like a brown skinned person, but you know what I mean? Like a darker complexion person. I don't have to not be seen, you know, when people are like, oh, it's too dark. Yeah. I can't take a picture of you. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's like, well, it was cool. Yeah, no. Like for a lot of reasons, obviously, like I've said, but that movie, like the story was good. The lighting was good. The filming, amazing. Everything about it, loved it. I should watch it again, definitely. But anyways, this is not just about Moonlight, but you should watch it too.
A case study.
Moonlight and Roll Bounce. How do they intersect? Because I'm sure there's something there. There has to be something there if you look hard enough.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm gonna do.
Find the parallels. Look, I feel like we could, I honestly feel like that could be something. That really could. Let me know what you find.
Look. I'm about to write a whole
dissertation. I'm about to write a dissertation about Moana, but we can talk about that later. Anyways. Oh, on the topic of like Black people just living life and not always being suffering, I feel like we already kind of touched on this, but honestly, like to me, for a long time, I felt like I had to watch those Black suffering movies, you know? Because I was like, I need to know what was happening, you know, I need to know what is happening right now. Like for me right now at my big age, I'm like, I will never watch Fruitvale Station. Like I know that people have, you know, loved that movie and they, you know, it's like, you know, very, whenever like things happen in the world that are like anti-Black, people are like, oh, this is a media that you watch, and then Fruitvale Station is there. But I'm like, I can never watch that movie because I know that it would literally kill my soul. But like maybe a couple years back when I was like 18, 19, I would have been like, I need to watch this so that it'll kill my soul, so that I can have some fire inside of me to keep fighting, you know? And that's just like not at all how I feel now. And I was just wondering, like, have you gone through that too, or are we just like, I don't want to watch this at all, or, you know, what was your kind of thing?
I'm along the same lines as you. Like when I was younger, I would always want to watch it, but also I was a lot angrier then. Not to say that I'm not angry now, it just looks different. but then I guess because I didn't know how to express it or like what to do or whatever, I'd be like, I have to watch these films because like they're angry and I should be angry too, because it's depicting what happened to us, or just all these injustices, because there's so many movies about Black suffering. So you just watch it. I'm trying to think of like a really like good example. I don't know. I really can't think of one right now.
There are so many.
This is why I can think of one right now.
There are so many.
But in the sense of like, I would just watch them and just be like, I can't believe this happened, so therefore now I'm angry. And I've also felt like that was our only form of education at the time, just because it was also so prevalent. And then you grow up and you realize you have all these other resources to educate yourself and just look like beyond this. And honestly, I would say I'm more angrier now that I've done research, but I'm more informed and able to communicate that more than instead of like, I'm just, I don't know. I have to watch this. I have to align with this view, this whatever. Yeah.
No, I feel the same way. I think like I went through this time, I think it was junior year of college, when I was way less angry than I was before, which I feel like everyone goes through that process of like, at least when you're like learning more about yourself as a Black person, or I guess any real like marginalized group probably goes through this, but I can only speak from my own personal experience. But you like get really angry, like, why am I having to deal with this for something that I can't control? And then you're like, oh, well, people don't deserve to be dying. You know, like, it's very much like an anger born out of sadness, at least it was for me, where I was like, this is horrible, you know, like these are my brothers and sisters, you know, because I feel like as a community, Black people are always like, you know, we are family, you know, even if we hate each other, we're still family.
Yeah, even if we hate each other, if we happen to be in the same room, even if we don't like each other, we're in the same room and it's just mm-hmm. us two black people.
We are best friends. We are best friends until we leave and I can find other black people. Like that's just how we are. And you know, it's like seeing, especially like back in 2016-ish, you know, when a lot of those police brutality things were happening on camera for the first time, not the first time, but like very mass first time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to watch every video. I need to know exactly what happened. So really, I feel like for me, it was like, if somebody asks me about it, how I feel about it, or they try to argue with me about it, then I know the facts. And also I'm like, I, like I said before, I need to witness this for the future. But I feel like now I'm like, I don't need to watch this. I know what happened. I know my own life. I know like how, you know, the world works, you know, I've done my study. I've done my research. I don't need to watch this again. Like I was saying before, junior year was when, I think When They See Us came out. Was it junior? It was sometime. I don't know. I just remember watching it in Athens. So it was in college sometime. And I watched that. And I think that was my, like the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I was like, I can never watch anything like this again. Because for me, the prison industrial complex has always been something that has bothered me like to my core my whole life. Like that was something that I was never comfortable with, just prison. And then I started learning more about it and I was like, yeah, I'm even less comfortable with this now. And then I watched that and I was like, these people see us, like young black people, 12, 13, 14, 12 to 16 years old, we're still kids and they see us as adults and they convict us for crimes that first of all, we haven't done. And second of all, don't deserve the sentence that they gave us because we're kids. We're literally like one of them who went to the adult prison, Corey. I was like hurting so bad that whole time I was watching that. Yeah. And I was like, I can't watch this again. Like, I'm happy that I did because I learned a lot from just watching that and, you know, doing my research afterwards and like watching documentaries and stuff. But I was like, I'm literally torturing myself to learn about something that I live every day, you know? I'm like, this is not for me. This is not for me. This is for people who are not Black, who don't have to live this every day, who want to know, you know? I'm like, what is her name? Not Angie Thomas. That's definitely the person who wrote The Hate U Give. What's her name? Oh, Ava DuVernay. I'm like, I appreciate her work, but I'm not watching nothing else.
I think one of those moments that I had was when we watched Get Out for the first time. And I watched it in a room of non-Black people. There were three of us in there. And you get to the ending scene. And you see the cop. And you watch how the Black people like tense up. And you're just like, oh my God. Right. You know, like you but everyone else in the room is completely calm. And you literally just watch the other three people. Like y'all look like, oh my God, this is like he's about to die. He went through all this and but and then of course we know the ending. Don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen it, it's been years. You can spoil it.
Right. And then his friend gets out the car and the sense of relief that like we felt, or at least that I felt, I was just like, oh my God, like why? Like, why is this a thing? And I think it was one of those moments that I realized, like, especially in media, if I have to live it, I don't need to keep watching it. Like you said, I don't need to keep digesting that. We have seen
more than enough
in our years. This is a very like sidebar. When you were in elementary school, did you watch ever like
that? Yes, me and my brother were just talking about that the other day. Martin and me.
Oh,
that slapped. Yes, that Martin slapped.
Oh my God, when they shot and then he was
uh-huh.
another. I was like,
oh! It's so good.
If y'all haven't seen,
bless yourself. That was like a pivotal part of our childhood. I think I watched it every year until like seventh grade, and then they stopped showing it to me. But It was so, I would like look forward to watching Martin and Me because I was like, they pull out that big old TV on the cart.
Right, on the cart.
Put in the VCR tape.
Right, you see the tape going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I loved that.
But yeah, but it was like, you think about it, like even from there, like you've been seeing, like, this is how our life is depicted. I don't know if your mom made you sit down and watch
Roots. Yes, she would, used to, she didn't make me watch it, but we would watch it when she did my hair, so she was making me watch it, like so she would be braiding my hair and I'd have to sit there and watch Roots. But it was like far and few between, like it wasn't every time, but yeah, we would watch Roots sometimes. And that, even from like the womb, we're watching stuff that's like,
you're just constantly consuming this, like, and I'm not saying it's damaging, it's just like constantly reminding you of, I guess, number one, your position, and two, like, granted, some of them are like, Roots end up being like a fantastic story from slavery all the way till the final chapter, where it's like the great 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 granddaughter, and she's like living in Manhattan, you know, like it really shows the whole thing. So you see the evolution, and that's fine or whatever, but that's also very far in between. Right. Like, we had to watch all of this suffering to get there, and it's just like, I don't need to consume this because I live this. This is literally for other people to understand the African American experience.
And I think, like, people often say, like, oh, don't watch, at least people like on social media, they say, don't watch these, you know, insert black suffering video or movie, whatever, too much because you'll get desensitized. And at first I was like, yeah, that's true, because you keep watching it, eventually you'll be like, okay, that happened last week, that happened the week before. But I was like, that message is not for me. I can't be desensitized to my own life, you know? Like, this is how I live every single day. And I'm not saying that every day I'm being brutalized and watching police brutality in the streets or anything, but I am saying that every day I have to think about, I'm Black and this is how it affects me, you know?
Yeah. And I think, like you said, like, we're constantly, through the media and, like, just everyday life, we're just constantly reminded of how we have to live out certain things. So you're right, I can't be desensitized to it, because that's right, all that happens. Like,
this is my life every day. Yes. I remember like one time, I don't know if I ever told you about this actually, but when I was a Girl Scout, and when I first started Girl Scouts, I was 8 or something like that. And I did my first cookie season, and I was like, I'm about to go in. Like, I'm going door to door with my mom. We about to sell cookies. So I was 8 or 9. Right. So my brother was like 11 or 12. And one time he went with us to this neighborhood, and we were, you know, knocking on doors, asking people if they want to buy cookies. I'm a cute little 8-year-old girl. Like, I've been cute my whole life. So I'm like, me and my mom pull up and my brother pull up to this house. We just parked the car, me and my mom about to get out. And my brother wants to come too, because, you know, he don't want to sit in the car by himself. And my mom says, no, you have to stay in the car because, you know, white people are afraid of Black people, Black men. Mm-hmm. And mind you, like I said, he was like 11 or 12. And I was so confused, because my brother is probably the nicest person, like, ever. Like, he can be annoying, but he's like kind. Yeah. And I was like, why would they be afraid of him? Like, first of all, he's a kid like me. And second of all, he is very, very nice. And no, he is dark, and I get, now he's tall. Like I said before, he was 12, so he couldn't have been that tall. But I was just like, I think about that so often, to the point where I'm like, did that even happen? Like, you know? It was just like so prominent in my mind that someone could be afraid of a little, like a young Black boy like that. But then you see, like, you know, these movies, like when they see us, like I said, where these kids were like 12, 13, and people are like, they're grown men just because they're Black, and they might be tall, but that doesn't make them any less 12 or 13, you know? And it's just like, that's literally something that happened in my life. I really don't need to see it. I don't need to see it. And that's like completely different from like your Hidden Figures, to me at least, where it's like, okay, I'm actually learning about these specific people and their lives. And like, I understand that segregation exists and they are talking about it, but I'm mostly learning about their like continued resilience and their accomplishments, right? But as opposed to like a 13th, which is a documentary, but you know, a 13th, whatever, where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm literally learning about people, like Black people being brutalized for years, you know? So, but that's, I think that's why we really do need and deserve movies that have nothing to do with like being Black, you know? It's like they are Black and they, you know, have Black, like they experience Black culture and they live Black lives, but it doesn't have to do with the whole overarching story. There, it's not just like, hey, they're Black, let me remind you that they're Black, you know? So, similar to Soul, which we have talked about before.
Similar to
Black Panther.
The way the film was constructed, it wasn't like, oh, this is the first like Black, like in the movie, the storyline was like, this is the first Black superhero, you know? Like, it was very much a story of like, I mean, just your typical epic poem, you know? Like your typical, like, it was just the whole, there's a struggle.
Right.
He gets down, has to figure out how to get back up.
It was like Hamlet.
It was just your typical story.
Literally all superhero stories are like Hamlet or that one. Oh my gosh. What is that one story that's like the like pinnacle of the hero's journey? It's like, it's like right on the tip of my tongue. It starts with an H. I like need to know what this is called. I did a whole project on it sophomore year.
I can't think of it. I'm over here thinking Macbeth, but no, Macbeth was good.
Oh yeah, that looked Black. Do you ever do that thing where you just like claim things as Black that aren't Black at all? That's like my favorite thing to do, honestly. Especially like as a K-pop stan, like obviously none of them are Black, they're all Asian, but I'll be like, oh yeah, he's Black. He does one thing, I'm like, Black. I love it. And it like bothers non-Black people so much sometimes. Not even non-Black. It bothers white people a lot. And I'm like, well, he's Black. So that's your own problem. Anyways, that's not at all what we're talking about. Dang. I'm gonna figure out what this story is called, and I'm gonna get back to you and see if you've heard of it. Cause I heard it so much in high school, and it's just like completely left my mind and it's making me mad. But anyways, back to Black movies or TV shows too, because we have, like you mentioned, Proud Family earlier, and that was like one of those shows that I never like processed was so Black until later on. I was like, wait a second, everybody in the show was Black.
No, I know, and I think that was so like, I don't know, I just love seeing it, like, and as a kid, like, of course, kids don't necessarily process that until you teach it to them. Kids don't really acknowledge race again until it's taught. So yeah, as a kid, I'm just like, oh, it's pity. I didn't even, like you said, didn't even realize like it was all Black until like I might have gotten to like seventh
grade. When I tell you it took me until like college, I was like, oh my God, Proud Family is really that Black. And we also had That's a Raven, with Raven, main character, and then her whole family is Black and just living their Black lives. They're like normal, everyday Black lives. Yeah.
I feel like also we had really good, which I don't know how we got away from this too, like really good
Black
sitcoms. Like, I don't know if you ever watched like in Living Single, that's with Queen Latifah, and Living Color.
A Different World.
Martin.
Girlfriends.
Like we
Moesha.
Just,
we had so many.
What was the show that had, oh my God, why am I blanking on her name? She's one of my favorite comedians. Oh my gosh.
Girl, you know I don't know comedians.
Oh, I know, but you know this
comedian?
Name.
Monique! Oh, yes! Monique. Yes, okay, obviously I know Monique. And we had Fresh Prince.
Traditional.
Which is, Fresh Prince, crazy. Fresh like Prince. When you think about it as a concept, like,
yeah,
the fact that they were that rich and Black, like, mind blown, crazy.
I also love the different like different platforms like that would highlight like just Black people, just being Black people. Like example, 106 Apart on BET. all it was just music. And you was waiting for the videos to drop. Like, you were so excited. Like, stuff like that. Like, I was just like, what?
Right. I don't know. Like, I was reading Bad Feminist or listening to it, and she brought that up too. Like, why don't we have these big, like, mostly Black productions anymore? And in some ways, I feel like it's probably because people try to, like, put Black people in other things, you know? So, like, we will be, like, we have, you know, people were trying to make Idris Elba James Bond. So we have Black people in these, like, traditionally, quote-unquote, white roles. And so we don't really feel like we have a need to have these solely Black shows, which I don't.
I don't agree with that.
I think we should still try. But, you know, it might also just be harder to do now, you know, because the only Black show that I can think of that's, like, basically fully Black, you know, there's is Blackish. Insecure, that's true. I don't watch Insecure, but Issa Rae has done what she had to do with her many movies and shows.
She really did. Did you see her, one of her acceptance speeches? I can't remember to what it was. She was accepting some award and she was like,
Issa Rae, one of my friends loves Issa Rae, and I never was, like, a huge, you know, like, stan or anything, but I really appreciate her, like, the stuff that she's done. Like, she be out here for real. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I watched that one movie with her and that guy, the brown guy.
I know which one you're talking about.
They're, like, on the run. Yeah.
Criminals.
Oh my gosh, what is it called?
I don't remember.
It's so good, though. I love that movie. Oh my gosh. But I also liked seeing an interracial couple that didn't have a white person in it. I was like, oh, that can happen?
You in that one movie? What's the name with the one you always be watching? What? Reclaim, you're gonna watch.
Oh, A Son Is Also a Star?
It's that love story. Yeah.
That's my comfort movie, bro. Don't comfort me like that.
I wasn't coming for you.
You claim you're gonna watch. I do. Okay, last time I started it, you called me and we was on the phone for, like, 2 hours. So that's your own fault.
Okay.
I said I was gonna watch it and then you called me.
You didn't have to answer.
I literally said I was just about to watch a movie.
I was like, child. Anyway, so as soon as you said what movie, I was like, okay.
Nah, whatever. Yeah. A Son Is Also a Star. That one's cute. And also an interracial couple that doesn't have a white person in it. So that's nice. But, you know, it has its flaws. At least Issa Rae is dark skin. No, what's her name? What is her name? Yara.
I never know her name.
Yara and, what is her name that played Rue? Or their name. I think they say them pronouns. But what is her name?
Yes.
Amanla.
I don't know, but I can hear mixed up.
Is Alessia Cara Black? What? How do you get Amanda and Alessia Cara mixed up?
I think it's literally just the fact that I know they both had curly hair.
Anyways, we're gonna move on from that. Hey, I think Amanda kind of looks like Willow Smith.
Let me pull up a picture of them because I have no idea.
I actually don't.
I don't even know.
Amanda was like in The Hate You Give too. Yeah. No, stop. She don't. They don't even look anything alike. They look absolutely nothing alike.
They look nothing alike. I need to cut it.
Nothing.
Off. They look
like
nothing
honestly,
alike.
Amanda could have been in the Whip My Hair video, and I wouldn't know.
And I'm a hey. More shining a little bit, and as I hit the stage, a plus I'm hearing it, and in the back,
bro,
like,
it. That hurts.
None of them whip it like I do. Ooh.
Anyways.
Willow Simon.
How old is Rue in the Hunger Games? 12. I can answer any Hunger Games related questions if you would like me to. Anyone listening to this, email me at... If you have any questions about the Hunger Games, anything that needs clearing up, let me know. I know everything about it. No, anyways, moving on. That kind of has to do with my next point, though. Because... when I was a kid, on like the whole representation topic, I really wanted to see myself more in books. And I kind of never did. And I make an effort now, more now, to like read black books by black authors and stuff. But the amount of like white authors that get away with publishing mediocre things is insane. And like, I read those mediocre things and I'm like, how in the world are black authors this good at writing and their stuff doesn't get published? And then this white author's like, they write something like freaking Bridgerton, The Duke and I, trash book. Good show.
I thought you were going to go in a different direction with the trash book that you were about to choose, and I was
Twilight?
about to go off on you.
Oh. What do you
No,
think I was
that
gonna
is
say?
trash. Divergent.
Okay, Divergent is trash, but I definitely read it like multiple times, so I can't say anything about it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm fine with anything else you would like to put on the table. Divergent
It's hot garbage.
is hot garbage.
It's
But it
hot
is
garbage,
so
and they were in
good.
Chicago, and they only had one black person. Or maybe two. I think there was about two, maybe, two or three black people. I'm like, how are you in Chicago? One? Like, that one that actually like is the main character, like Christina had many, like she was actually important to the story. But I was like, this don't make no sense. And I feel like that's something that happens a lot. I'm like, you guys, like white authors set their books in places that would make sense for there to be a diverse cast of characters. And then they're like, actually, they're just gonna all be white. And like at some times I kind of get it, 'cause white people get a lot of like backlash, I guess, for writing like characters of color wrong. But they just need to do their research. Like, they're willing to do their research about everything else. They're writing these vast worlds and like about fairies and this and that and whatever. And they're like, I don't know anything about black people, actually. It's like,
Same with Harry Potter. You had that one black kid, Dean.
Dean,
I didn't
you
even
had
know
Dean
Christopher
in Cho
Lee. That
Chang.
might have been his name.
What? Cho Chang? Like, I literally, Hermione Granger. Cho Chang. What the frick? That doesn't make any sense. I'm sick. Yeah. It's just at some point, I'm like, this is just lazy writing. Like, you just didn't, like, I don't know. They're just trying to check off boxes and be like, oh, yeah, whatever. I wrote this black character and I named him Dean. Like, okay. You could have just left him out. Like I literally was watching a video about this the other day where this girl was like, on one hand, I understand why they don't do it, but on the other hand, they should be held accountable for like being lazy, which I completely agree with. Like, you guys are writing these vast things, and you can't include one character that's not white. And I'll excuse Divergent because, like I said, that book is trash. So. I don't want representation in Divergent. Like it was garbage. But anyways, how about you?
So
What
bad.
was something that you like growing up or even now wanted to see yourself in?
Yeah, I mean, of course, like we talked about like movies and just books. Like I think sometimes like I've broken this habit, but going back to just your point about books, like even when I would read a book, I would just know like this is a white character. And like I guess I was just conditioned to think that way. And now I think just because I've read more like diverse things that I'm more like, oh my God, this is me. I think every main
You're
character is me.
stupid.
So I mean that was just obviously like a mindset that just had to shift. But I think like one thing that like I think about a lot just because there's so much more representation in it now is just like news media and news coverage. Like I remember growing up in Atlanta, you had Monica
Gang.
Kaufman and Jovita Moore. And right, Monica looked like us, and I mean Jovita is also a wonderful black woman who does the news, but I felt like I identify with Monica because I was like, Monica is me. Like Monica and I got the same Fenty foundation.
Fenty before
Like
it was
Fenty before it was Fenty. So I was just like, oh my gosh, but Monica was the only person, Monica and Jovita were the only people that I saw. And now you have so many people which I think is, it's encouraging, especially since I want to go in that field. It's just like, it's one of those things like you're like, I know they broke some barriers that's going to make it a little bit easier for me to put my foot in the door. And it's just, again, it's just really encouraging to see because as a kid, I was just like, look, Monica is it. She actually is it. But now it's just like I see myself in more places, especially like I don't know, just in traditional places that you just wouldn't see yourself in, and you're just like, wait, hold on,
Yeah, I feel like
something's
too,
they
as a
doing something
kid,
here.
you look for yourself in things, and when you don't see it, you're like, I don't know if I can actually do that, you know? 'Cause like for me, I read a lot as a kid, and I was always reading white authors and books about white people, and I wanted to be an author when I was a kid. But I was like, can I even do that? Do black people write books? Like I, you know, like at my big age, it sounds stupid to think that, but that's how kids think. They're like, I've never seen a black person do something like this, so can black people do this? Like very, you know, simple example. But when I was a kid, we never went to Kroger. So every time somebody talked about going to Kroger, they were always white. So I assumed that Kroger was the white people store, and we only went to like Publix and Walmart. You know, like black people could only go to Publix and Walmart. Like I thought that literally until high school. And my dad was like, you want to go to Kroger? I was like, can we go to Kroger? I was like, are we allowed to go to
Are
Kroger?
you
Like I
sure?
literally, like that's just something that it was just always in my mind. Like I just didn't think that Kroger was for black people. And now Kroger is my store, but
Yeah.
it be hitting at
The
Kroger
Kroger
gas. They
Plus
be
card,
like 10 cents
baby.
off sometimes. I said, oh, okay, Kroger got me. But back in the day, that's like really what I thought. I was like, this is only a store for white people because only white people have talked about going there. But it was like the same thing on a larger scale where I was like, I want to be an author, but I've never read any black authors, so can I do that? But now I'm changing that. I'm trying to at least. It's a little hard because sometimes them books just don't be tickling my fancy.
And you know another thing too, and I think also this goes to like the testament of the types of things that we read. Like I've never seen, I mean, now I have, after I've done like research and looked at like extensively high and low, I've never seen a black person create like a Hogwarts, you know? Or it's not, or it's never been like in my face. Like it's always been just this, and you know, and so you're just like, can we even do that? What, you know, stuff like that. Like you said, you just don't know if that's even an option for you until you see it and you're just like, wait,
This is crazy.
right,
And the thing is, like,
right.
it's not that black people aren't out here doing these things. It's that it's just harder for us to do these things, you know?
Yeah, and then when it is done, it's never brought to the front. It's never highlighted. It's
Like
never, you know, in your face per
I
se.
read a debut novel by a black author last year, and it wasn't my favorite thing ever. I wasn't sold. Like I don't think I'm gonna read the rest of the series or whatever, but I was like, this is amazing. Like for a debut author, this is really, really good. And then I read a debut novel by a white author, and it was one of the worst books I've ever read in my life, but she now has more books that are like amazing. I love them. They're really well written. And I'm like, she was given this chance again after she wrote probably the worst series I've ever read ever, besides Divergent. But you know, a black author, I'm not sure if they would have been given the chance again. So just to kind of, I guess, wrap things up, last question, has your need or want for representation changed over time?
I think, yes, but in the sense of like, I definitely think like we do have a lot of representation now, and I wouldn't take that for granted. However, what we're still lacking is seeing the full range of blackness. Like we're only still seeing black people portrayed as their traditional roles, like the light skin is the one who's going to be loved and fought after. There's your strong, big chocolate man, you know, like. You know, like it's still the traditional, the dark skinned woman is still
Undesirable,
everybody's mom or nanny, or still being treated like they're still being played in those roles. And I'm like, can we please, for the love of God, branch out? So I'm craving representation, but in the sense of how they're manifested. So like I want it to look a different way. I'm sick of, thank you for having the black people there. Thank you. Step one completed. Step two, please move away
I
from
can't I
these
feel the same
roles.
way. Like I think Like, I, it definitely has changed over time. Like, I don't feel like I personally need representation anymore because I know that I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
So if a Black person has done it or not, that has nothing to do with me because I'm going to just do it, you know?
Look, what's that Nas song that they had us all sing?
Oh, my gosh. Be what I want to be.
Be what I want to be.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about
if
that.
I work hard that's a bit.
every year. Wow, that just unlocked. He wasn't wrong. I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. Quick antidote, I said, I guess. My cousin, she works for an NBA team, and she was like posting about, like, for Black History Month, I guess, about her accomplishments when I was like, gang girl. But she was like, first Black woman to do this, first Black woman to do that. It was like first Black woman in all of her programs as she like moved up to get her credentials to be able to work where she works now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, she's really out here being a whole pioneer. Yeah. Like in 2021, 2020, whatever. Like if I want to do something and I feel passionate about that thing, I can just do it. I don't need someone to show me like, oh, I've done it before, so you can do it too, you know? But I think it's still like, and I also, in the same thing that ties into your point, I want to see more Black people doing things that aren't traditionally like Black, quote unquote, Black people things. But I don't want to see them from white people. Like, I don't want white people to write our stories. I want, because, you know, it'll always go back to that thing, you know, where it's like, oh, well, you know, this is what fits the Sambo, the Mammy, the, you know, it'll always go back to that.
I also, to add on that, I'm tired of Black people
Ooh.
Who subscribe to respectability Ooh. Politics writing the same thing.
Ooh, respectability politics, don't even get me started. We already been talking for too long. Don't get me started. But yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Just writing the same stuff over and over and over again. I need to see something new. And I feel like we're moving towards that.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's not anything that's just like, oh, all white people are going to do this wrong or whatever. I just want to see more Black people in those roles. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be nice. But, you know, if you can write a good character and you're white or not Black, then you do you. But I think representation is still important, but it's important for young people, not necessarily for us. Like, we want to see it, but I think it's mostly, like, you know, the young people need to see it. We just want to see it, basically. But, yeah, I think that's a good sum of everything that we've talked about. You know, if you haven't seen any of these movies, you should watch them. I'm definitely going to be watching Roll Bounce soon.
Yes. I got Moonlight and Into the
Spider-Verse. All right, we going to come back to y'all with some reviews, maybe. See what we think. But y'all, let us know what you think about this episode, about the movies that we talked about. Anything that you agree or disagree with, let us know. I don't know how to let us know because
follow us on Instagram.
Yes,
and let us know in the comments if you're watching here on YouTube.
A little like, a little comment, a little subscribe. We might be, you know, having actual videos sometime in the future. And tune in next time. I actually don't know what we're talking about next time. It's a surprise.
It's a surprise
to everyone. You will find out next week, and we will too. So, anyways, thank you for listening. This has been, our Instagram at is New Adult Playbook. So, you know, follow us there. But thank you for listening. Yes. This has been the New Adult Playbook podcast. My name is Alyssa, and I'm here with Makaya. And
y'all have a good night.
Afternoon. Or whatever.
Good day.
Whenever you listen to this, have a great whatever.